Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. I'm your host, Jim Phillips, on this beautiful Sabbath day, enjoying the winter and the cold weather and the snow in preparation for one of those wonderful times of the year, Christmas, where we celebrate one of the most important events that ever has occurred in the history of this world. Well, wanting to help you be safe in the cold and in the winter, we're talking about hypothermia and how to avoid those things. I've made the point, I hope you understand so clearly, that shivering is not an issue. We've all experienced that. That's not threatening. But any time that you cannot stop shivering, that is an emergency signal that says don't let it go further, because the next symptom is when you stop shivering involuntarily, you just don't have the strength to shiver, you're now in the process of expiring, and things become very, very serious. Let me describe to you a trip years ago, that one that I told you where I nearly lost my life. I won't go into all the details of why, other than to say, I didn't have the PALS clothing on that we taught you how to make in earlier classes. The only thing I had was the footwear, because I won't even attempt to go out there in those kinds of conditions without the mukluks that we make, because I just don't want to suffer that much. So I had those, but just using the typical layers of cotton and wool, and I had a down sleeping bag. Now, I gave my friend that was with me on that trip, I let him have my PALS foam sleeping bag, and we both had the mukluks on, and we're going to snowshoe across Jenny Lake in the Teton range there. I love the Tetons. They're a beautiful area. Have seen them in the summer, but I'd never visited them in the winter, and I was stationed in Idaho and the Navy at this time in 1971, and I thought, here's my chance. I'm this close by, and it's January. Let's take this trip. So I talked my friend into going out there, and that's when I got myself into trouble. You know, thinking about what it should be like in that part of the country, in January, we're looking like, 20, 30 below. In fact, it had been well below zero. And the colder it is, in a way, it's actually easier to take care of yourself, primarily because it's easier to stay dry. So I knew we'd have to use fire and we'd have to be careful, but we'd be okay with this, standard layers of clothing. Turns out that probably the coldest temperature that we ever saw was like 28 or 29 degrees. Most of the time it was hovering around freezing, and it was snowing all the time, constant snow. Those temperatures, what it means with that kind of clothing is you're just wet. So here's what happens. During the day when you're active, when you start out, you're okay. You get wet, you get cold, you shiver a little bit, but yeah, it's all right. You go to bed at night. Now, in my case, I go to bed with wet, and I go to bed in a down sleeping bag, so now what do you have? You now have a wet sleeping bag. And down is a horrible insulator once it gets damp or wet. It just really collapses on you. So now I shiver basically, all night long. Now my friend Dale, he wakes up in the morning, and his comment was, he said, "What? That's amazing." He said, "I went to bed wet, and I had this wet clothing on." He says, "I slept warm, and my clothing is dry." I'm in my sleeping bag going like, yeah, shut up, don't tell me about it. I don't want to hear about it because I did not have a good night. But, see, I don't want him to suffer. Part of this challenge was actually my pride. I'm 24, 22, 23 years old at the time. So I don't say, yeah, we're going to trade sleeping bags and you suffer for a night. I decide to just grit my teeth and keep going. So we snowshoe another part of a day, and it's miserable and lousy, and I go to sleep that night. Now I don't even get any sleep hardly at all, just shiver all night long. We travel a little bit more the next day, and I decide I got to build an igloo to try and get out of the snow that's falling, because you just keep getting wetted and re-wetted and wetted all the time, and we're building big campfires. I mean, we're talking bonfires here. And you know the game of some of you that have been out in the cold and tried to camp like this. You know the game you call rotisserie? You stand by the fire, and you just slowly turn around in a circle, and you're warming one side while the other side's breathing, just go round and around and around. That's what we're doing. We're playing rotisserie out there around the bonfire and trying to get through this thing. Then I'll tell you the rest of the story right after the break about my personal experiences with hypothermia.
Mm-hmm. The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing, with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time, and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now, you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code CLUBRADIO when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. This is Jim Phillips with you on this beautiful day. Telling you a little bit about my experience with hypothermia, the one that was the most serious. Here I am. I've been out there camping for, we're now 2.5 days, going into the third day and the final night of this trip. And I built this igloo so I could try and get out of the snow that's falling on us, and it gave a little bit of shelter. But it's, you know, we're just wet. As soon as you dry off on one side, or as much as you can dry off with playing rotisserie around the bonfire, you know, the other side is now wet, and you just keep going around and around, which is very tiring, to say the least. Well, that night, this last night, I go to bed. I'm worn out. I'm exhausted. You see, when you're out there like 3 days and two nights, and you haven't had very much sleep, you're just wearing out. Remember one of the things that I said about preventing hypothermia? Exhaustion is something you need to avoid. So I've got wet clothing, I'm exhausted, and I didn't understand these things as well back then, I'm probably dehydrated too, because you don't have the energy to eat and drink. You start losing your appetite. Other body functions that may be crying for something to help them get shoved in the background simply because you're hurting so much in other places you can't tell what's going on. I went to bed that night looking forward to the next day of getting out of there. And it was sometime late in the night, and I'm not sleeping. I'm just laying there shivering. My teeth are chattering, and I'm trying to move. I need to get up and go by the fire and move around, but I'm too tired to go and do that, so I just lay there in misery. And sometime, maybe it was 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, I stopped shivering. And I'd never experienced this before. In fact, I didn't even appreciate the symptoms. I didn't know what I know now. That was part of the good news, if you will. Ignorance can help you up to a point. Now, if I knew what I knew right now, I'm not going to let myself get to that point. But back then, I didn't necessarily know, so I didn't know exactly how much trouble I was in. All I knew was I stopped shivering, and I was not feeling good. And so I got Dale up, and it's still dark out, and I said, we got to go. We got to get up and get started, because you're so slow in those situations. You can't hardly control your hands. Your energy level is down, and it's like, let's get out of here. I want out. I've had all the pain I can stand. And by the way, if somebody ever says, oh, freezing to death is a great way to die, try it. You know, this is not fun. This hurts all the way down through the process. So we get packed up. It takes me a lot of time to do that, and by early light, we're packed up and we're leaving out of there. Now, one of the things about hypothermia at this level, see, my core temperature is probably, having had other experiences and where I've been, I probably have an internal core temperature of around 85 degrees, 84, 85 degrees. I am a candidate for a coma right now. But because I had this focus I told you about, because I had this commitment, because I had this pride, if you will, is a part of it, saying, I got to get out of here, and I got to get Dale out of here. I don't want him talking about how bad snow camping is, because I've been talking about how great it is. You're on one of these trips here that's like, this is not fun. So I want him out of there, and the only thing I could do was focus on where I needed to go. It's almost like you're in extreme tunnel vision. I could see where we needed to go through the mist and through the snow over to this little spit of land that was over there, and that was kind of my landmark, and we're going to snowshoe across this lake. Now, you're so exhausted. I went one time 6 days without any sleep, you're working during the day and then not sleeping at night. You know, you're resting, sitting down, but literally not sleeping for 6 days. I thought I was tired when I went without sleep for 6 days. You cannot imagine the level of exhaustion, because you're right on the edge of a coma. The biochemical processes, the bioelectrical processes of the body are shutting down. And the only thing you want to do at that level when you stop shivering, you just live for one purpose, and that's to go to sleep. The problem is, if you go to sleep in those conditions where there's not the services to take care of you, the sleep becomes permanent. We are just moving at a snail's pace across this lake. I don't know, it's a mile across. It's not very far, a mile and a half, something like that, across the lake where we are. And it takes us all morning long and into the early afternoon just taking one step. And it was like this: step, and then rest for a second, and then step. And these are not big steps, rest, and then step. And the conversation that's going on inside of my head is, it's like I have this person in there saying, please let me sleep. All I want to do is sleep. Just let me lay down just 5 minutes. I just want to sit down for 5 minutes and rest. I have to rest. I cannot keep going. That's one conversation in there. The other conversation that I don't know where it came from, let's say that was from a higher source than me, I have no doubt, that's going like, no, just keep going. What you need to do is just keep walking. It was a calm voice that simply said, take another step. Okay, then take another one. Now pause for a moment. Now take another one. That's all I heard, these two conversations, my conversation and the one that was coming to guide me out of there, was simply take one more step. And I just lived to take one more step so I could rest, and then it was one more step to rest, one more step to rest. And that's how we got out of there. Now, you're not out of the woods if you're at that point. It's actually, the rewarming process is just as hazardous as what I've gone through. Let me describe to you how you get out of hypothermia, what you should do, and then I'll come back to how I was treated, how I took care of myself, and help you understand how hazardous that can be, how close I was to losing it. When hypothermia occurs, in fact, the most common hypothermia is really between about 30 and 50 degrees. You see, there's my situation. During the day, it was probably 31 degrees, 32, 33 degrees, and you're just wet. We lose more people to hypothermia, have more people suffering from hypothermia above freezing than we do below zero. And you have more people, 40 degrees in a rainstorm, in cutoffs and a sweatshirt in the wind, is absolutely deadly. It'll kill you. That's cold water immersion is what it is. wind and rain and wet clothing above freezing at 50 degrees or 40 degrees is extremely hazardous. So here's what you do to avoid hypothermia. You want to stay dry. If it's raining or sleeting or snowing and you have clothing that has a tendency to get wet, well, you put on some kind of rain gear, something to shed it. Get under a poncho, a plastic sheet, any number of things. Stay dry. Beware of the wind. Wind will literally refrigerate. I mean, it's pulling heat away from you, and you get evaporative cooling. If you have wet clothing and wind, that's a double whammy, very, very hazardous. You want to avoid dehydration. We'll talk more about the nutrition side of this in a moment, but you've got to drink more water than you think you need. In fact, when it's cold, you need to be consuming about a gallon of water a day. And water is better to consume than a lot of other fluids. You know, bouillons and soups and stews and things like that, you can get part of your water from it, but there's some things you should not drink. In the nutrition area, we'll talk a little bit about that, but water. Never ignore shivering or cold hands and cold feet, because that's an indication. Remember how the body works? Shivering is an indication of hypothermia. So are cold hands and feet. When the body is restricting the blood supply into those extremities, it says, hey, I'm trying to protect the core in here. You know, this is not going real well, so that's why I turned off the blood supply. So if you have cold hands and cold feet, that's a warning signal. And you have to be willing to give up reaching a particular goal if it's a goal that you don't have to get to. Now, me going across Jenny Lake and snowshoeing across that thing, my goal was to get out of there. That was not a goal to give up on. That was a goal to focus on and do no matter what. But if you were going the opposite direction, away from safety, away from the shelter, in this case it's my car with a heater in it, if you're going the other direction and you're in trouble like that, do not be prideful and say, oh, I'm tough, I'll keep going. Hypothermia will take you out. It will kill you, and it does every year. It takes people's lives. So give up reaching the top of the peak. Give up getting that picture. Give up getting the fish, or give up staying on the hunt at the moment. You can always come back and do it again. But if you don't make it, you don't get that chance to come back. You want to avoid exhaustion. You pace yourself. You want to be sure you're resting. See, if you're in a situation, I've broken all these rules, right? In my ignorance and in my toughness and those things, I broke all of these rules. You don't want to get exhausted. You need sleep at night. You've got to be able to rest so that you keep your strength up. You want to eat plenty of foods, in this case, in the cold weather, things that are high in fats and oils and proteins and complex carbohydrates, wonderful things to have. You want to avoid high sugar, refined sugar, kind of candy bars, one of the worst things you can actually consume, actually. Fats and proteins and complex carbohydrates is what you want to aim for. Here's a way of remembering some of these points. If you take cold, and you turn those, each one of those letters into something else. Cold is for clean clothing. You want to be using clean clothing because clean clothing, clean layers and everything actually insulate better, because if they're clogged up with dirt and muck and slime and what have you, you've chased out the air, which is the insulation. Oh, for overheating. You should avoid overheating. What we're really talking about in overheating is that you don't want to be perspiring into your clothing. Now, if you go back to what I talked about earlier when we're discussing the PALS clothing and the way we make it, I sweat like a horse in that stuff. It makes no difference because the clothing was designed to handle it. But if you're not using clothing that you absolutely know can handle being very, very wet and yet will self-dry, if you're using traditional layers, even if they're synthetic layers, be very careful about overheating and perspiring. You want to have clothing that's loose-fitting. Loose-fitting boots and mittens. I don't mean floppy drop off of you, but you don't want things that are tight and restrictive because it cuts down on blood circulation as well as it squeezes the air out. And, of course, then D is for dry. You want dry clothes because dry clothing insulates better. So that's what cold is, clean, overheating, loose-fitting, and dry. Now, even if it's raining or snowing in air temperatures that are less than 50 degrees Fahrenheit, the actual ability of the moisture to move from inside around you, where it's like 92, 93 degrees for a surface temperature of your body, the moisture wants to move to the outside. We covered that in class 3 and 4 about where does moisture move. It goes from where it's warm to where it's cold. It doesn't have to be below zero. 92 degrees inside and 45 degrees outside, even if it's raining or snowing, that moisture still wants to go outside. You might say, well, the humidity outside is 100%. Yes, and the humidity inside is 100% in your clothing, but the moisture still wants out of the cold because of the difference in the vapor pressure. So you want to let it get out, but keep your clothing dry from the outside and inside. We talked about those in class 3 and 4. More about avoiding hypothermia right after this break.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. I'm your host, Jim Phillips, on this beautiful winter day, enjoying the season as it comes upon us, but also learning how to enjoy the season and be safe in it, even if you find yourself during an emergency. Hypothermia is one of those things that can become very, very threatening, and you understand it and what to do about it, and you can avoid it so there is no harm from it. That's the whole idea. Now, we were talking about some of these hypothermia prevention points. You see, during periods of heavy exercise, if you have clothing that allows the moisture to pass through it and come to the outside without losing the heat, you're going to see steam vapor rising off your clothing. That's how you know that you actually have clothing that's permeable enough and that moves the moisture well enough. I refer you back to class 3 and 4. Talking about the physics and the materials and how and why these things work. We want materials that have high moisture vapor transfer rates. MVTR is what we're looking for. So that's what you want to see. And again, it may in fact be 35 degrees outside. I can see steam coming off my clothing at 35 degrees. It really, you see it coming off when it's like 5 degrees and 10 degrees, just all this vapor pouring out of your clothing. That's wonderful. So you want to allow it to escape. Now, if you don't have a clothing that allows it to pass through it, That's where you have clothing that has vents on it, things that you can open up. So, again, we can be dumping some of this moisture to the outside. That's what we're trying to do, allow it to escape. Gear that allows moisture to build up inside of it where it becomes damp, not only does the insulation go down very quickly and you start losing more heat, but you'll also observe that the weight gain goes up, and now it's harder to work with and it's more uncomfortable to work with in those situations. So the ability of moisture to get out of clothing is so critically important. It's also very important that you understand in this that waterproofing, improperly used, can cause trouble. Again, go back to class 3 and 4 we did on the air. Waterproofing will trap moisture inside. Now, if it's raining outside or sleeting outside, I'm going to use a poncho. I'm going to use some kind of a shelter because I'm not standing out there just trying to get wet. I want to shed as much of that as I can, but waterproof fabrics that are attached directly to your coats, your shirts, and those kinds of things will absolutely trap moisture inside and allow you to have buildup of that water in the clothing that will hurt the insulation. Now, let's go back to the field treatment here. Let's go back to my situation where I was in such serious trouble. I made it across Jenny Lake with my friend. I got to my old 59 Chevy, you know, the one with the big wings on it for you that are old enough to remember those things, the teardrop taillights on it. And the one thing about that old 59 Chevy was, number one, it always fired up easily, and it had a heater in it like a blowtorch. So my idea of treatment was to get inside of this car, crank it up, and it started right up, and get that heater on in there and turn that thing into a sauna, which is what I did. Now, you would think that's the best way to do it, and in my case, it was the only way to do it. It was the only thing I could do, but that can be very, very hazardous. If you're at that level of hypothermia, you really want to be around emergency facilities, and you really want somebody standing by to restart your heart, because there is a reasonable probability that during the rewarming process, it won't go well. Now, it went well for me, fortunately, young, strong, mountain climber, skier, and all those kinds of things. I had the physical condition that will let me get through. Think about it. Here's what happens. Look at the body process that's been going on. What's been happening is the body, to try and protect the core, has been shutting down the circulation to the surface of the body. It's also shutting it down to the hands and feet. My hands and feet were just hurting terribly. They were cold, and I was suffering with them. But my whole body has a very, very cold surface. I'm covered with cold blood. You want to be rewarming both inside and outside at the same time. The best way to rewarm from a moderate or deep hypothermia is where you will be putting heat directly into the core. This can be done by pumping fluid. Now, here we are back in the hospital. We're going to pump warm fluid down into the stomach, and it's pumped in there and it's pumped out back and forth, warm fluids in and out. So now we're warming the core right inside. They will do it with, at times they'll hook you up to the heart-lung machine. They'll take the blood out of the body and rewarm it gently and put it back in. Not a fast process. It's a slow one, but warm that blood up. This is what they'll be doing for somebody that's in a coma. Remember, I'm on the edge of a coma at this point. They may do it also with the enemas, pumping warm fluids into the bowels of the body and then pulling that cooled fluid out, dumping the heat into the core. While you're warming the body from the outside with the warm the blankets that warm on the outside, you want to heat the inside and the outside all the time, standing by just in case. Because here's what happens. If you take this core, this body that has a core that's chilled way down to, like, you know, 85 degrees, what is the surface temperature of the blood out on my skin and through all these, the muscles that are in the extremities? The temperature of that blood could be in the 70s, it might be in the 60s. In fact, my foot temperatures, because I've measured my foot temperatures in other situations, my foot temperatures were down into the low 40s, upper 30s. So you have all of this pool of cold blood surrounding this somewhat warmer core. As you begin to warm the outside of the body, as it is warming up, and I'll explain right after the break here, I'll tell you what can happen and why this is so hazardous. Do it the way I did. Again, I had no choice. It worked out okay, but you've got to be careful. This is why you never want to go here. Right after this break, I'll tell you the rest of the story.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Berkeylight's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeylight, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeylight is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeylight, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up to 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's Energy-Swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000-plus stores, including Sears, OfficeMax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores. Buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. Talking about my experience with hypothermia, my close call in the wilderness back in 1971. Here I was at my car running it as the sauna in there, warming up, the only thing that I could do at the time. And we've gone through the body process. As you start to get the picture, here's my somewhat warmer core, 84, 85, 86 degrees, whatever it is at this point in time, surrounded by a pool of blood that could be in the 60s and 70s that's on the surface. And when you start warming from the outside like that, one of the things that may happen is that some of the blood vessels, these restricted little capillaries and little blood vessels that the body has sent the signal, says squeeze those guys down just to tighten them up so there's no blood supply or very restricted blood supply going to the surface. You begin to warm them up. And what happens when you start to warm up? You've ever been in the situation with muscles and things and you begin to warm? What do? They relax. Those little muscle fibers that surround those capillaries that have squeezed down very tightly, they go like, oh my goodness, it's warm, I feel good, I think I'm just going to relax, and the tension goes off of them and they open up. And now what happens is you have the warm blood, warmer blood, I should say, that's in the core, is now dumped on the surface. You feel this rush of warmth, but the rush of warmth comes from the warm blood going to the inside, to the outside, and now the cold blood that was on the outside is dumped into the heart. And the heart that was under tremendous strain already, and all these internal organs, they're shocked with this cold blood, and just like that, ventricular fibrillation. And if there isn't somebody there to get the heart rhythm going again, it's all over. So what I'm telling you is, don't go here. Understand the symptoms. Understand how serious it could be. Don't be the tough guy that's, oh, I'm tough. I can shiver for days and days, and I'll be okay. It could cost you dearly if you do that. I was fortunate. I was lucky. I was blessed. I was guided, whatever it was. I warmed up. I was okay. But let me describe something else to you, if you think this is a pleasant experience. When you go back through all of the symptoms of hypothermia, when you're going down, you start feeling a little cool, and then you have the voluntary shivering I talked about, and then you go to involuntary shivering, and then you go to very violent, spasmodic shivering, and then you stop shivering. Well, guess what? When you come back, you start shivering again, and it's violent shivering. You're absolutely, it's huge tension. The muscles are so tight at times, and they're tightening up and relaxing and tightening up. It hurts. And then you go back to where you're now at voluntary shivering, and finally you stop shivering, but now you're warm, so it's okay to stop shivering. When this was all over, for the next, I don't know, several days, I felt like somebody had put me in a gunny sack and just pummeled me with a baseball bat. I hurt. My scalp hurt. My eyelids hurt. Everything. I had strained every muscle in my body coming back through this thing. So the point is this. If somebody says, freezing to death is a great way to go, don't buy that. It's a lousy way to go. Don't do it prematurely no matter what. So let's talk about field treatment and the best thing to do. Now, avoid it completely, but let's say that you or somebody around you is in a hypothermic situation and you want to catch it early. That's why it's so important for you to understand these symptoms. So as you look what's happening to somebody, and especially with your children are more susceptible to hypothermia than you are. Go back and listen to classes 3 and 4 and you'll understand why. When children are more susceptible, and if you see one of them get into a situation where it's not good, and if you talk to them, hopefully they're old enough you can talk to them, say, can you stop shivering? Can you stop quivering? And they're like, no, I can't stop. It's an emergency. You've got to do something about it now. Here's what you do. First off, you get them out of wind and rain. You seek or build shelter. I was trying to do that with my igloo there. I was out of the – there wasn't much wind, and I was certainly trying to get out of the snow, but there was no temperature gain getting into an igloo at those temperatures. So you want to get out of wind and rain. You seek or build better shelter. You want to strip off wet clothing and replace it with something dry. It may be a sleeping bag. Take off the wet stuff and get into a dry sleeping bag. Now, if you get into a wet sleeping bag like I was, that's not going to do anything. You need to get in something dry. If the victim is only mildly impaired, if the victim is, conscious and you can talk to them and they can respond, they're just, not functioning as well, but just mildly impaired, then you want to give them some warm fluids, warm drinks. That's getting some of this heat down into the core, down into the body. Now, be careful what you give them. Don't give them things that are really hot, because in some cases your sensitivity to pain has been reduced. They can scald their mouth and their throat. Give them warm, not hot, warm. Also, both their muscle coordination, but their reasoning power is they're not going to pick up on that stuff being hot, and they'll burn themselves badly. So you be sure it can just be drunk straight the way it is. Get them into, dry clothing, into the dry sleeping bags, canteens filled with warm water, not hot, but nice warm water. Again, because the sensitivity to pain may be reduced and they may burn themselves. You can even use hot rocks. But again, be careful they're not hot. You need to be able to handle them and touch these things, and it doesn't hurt you. Then you can put them in bed with these people or inside of their clothing. You want to avoid getting too close to stoves or fire. Gears or clothing can be easily burnt, but the sensitivity is the issue. They may not be either alert enough or may not feel well enough to understand, hey, I'm starting to cook the flesh here. Now, if a victim is semi-conscious, you have to make plans to evacuate them. You've got to get them to help. But you, while you're getting them to help or help's coming to them, you want to treat the victim gently and you want to move them slowly. You don't vigorously exercise them or jerk them around or things like that. You want to handle them slowly and carefully. And, you know, there's an old wives' tale. I talked about this back in one of our earlier programs, old wives' tale about when if you have cold or frozen extremities or something like that, you rub snow on it. Every now and then I see one of these old Hollywood pictures and there's somebody with cold hands or feet and they grab a handful of snow and rub on it. It's like, yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. I figured that one out at age five. That didn't add up. There's a reason for that, that why we have these wives' tales that are untrue, but you do not put anything cold on the body. If you're going to put something on the body, it wants to be warm, not hot, but warm. Keep the victim awake by gently stimulating them. And by the way, alcohol is not a stimulant you want to give. I'll get to that in a moment. No, absolutely zero alcohol. But you keep them awake, you keep them talking, you keep them moving, you do whatever you can while you're warming them up. Give them warm fluids if they're alert enough to swallow. But if somebody is not alert enough to swallow, they end up choking on this stuff and aspirating into the lungs. Now you have a potential pneumonia problem, so be careful. If the person is unconscious, and if you don't have anything else you can do, you can get them out of their warm, their wet clothing and put them into a dry sleeping bag with other people. Now, don't get somebody else's cold, wet clothing in there with them. We're talking body to body. You need to be in contact with somebody else that's warm. In my case, I got into my 59 Chevy and turned it into a sauna to get myself warmed up. Now, of course, prevention is the best thing to do, but if you haven't been able to prevent it, warm on the inside and the outside at the same time. Don't let somebody go so far that they're in a coma or are not responsive to you very well, because then you have a hard time getting the warm fluids into them and pump a lot of fluids into them. There's a reasonable chance they're dehydrated, too, because they probably lost their appetite. They lost their thirst mechanism. They don't care. They just flat don't give a rip about drinking anything. It takes too much energy to think about drinking that you don't even want to do it. But here's the thing about alcohol I want you to understand. You never at any time, somebody who's in mild or moderate or even deepening hypothermia, would you ever give them any alcohol, because it does exactly the same thing as what I was describing to you about improperly warming. Alcohol is a vasodilator. It's a vasorelaxer. And this kind of event can occur. It has occurred where you have somebody who is in hypothermia, they have stopped shivering, and somebody comes up to them, it's the old, you know, the St. Bernard dog with the keg around their neck, you know, and you're supposed to give them a shot of brandy to warm them up. And you say, and somebody says, well, yeah, I've taken a shot of brandy or whatever it was, and I felt warm, I got this warm glow. That warm glow was not added heat to the body. What that warm glow was, alcohol is a vasorelaxer. It's a vasodilator, and those little blood vessels that are surrounded by these tiny little muscles that are squeezing down to restrict the blood from going to the surface so you're not losing as much heat, when the alcohol goes into the circulation, they go like, oh, relax. And exactly the same thing happens where you have that somewhat warmer blood inside flows to the surface. That's where your warm feeling, this warm glow comes from. It's the internal heat that's being dumped to the outside, and that cold blood on the outside is now being dumped into the heart, and it can trigger ventricular fibrillation. It can shut down your heart, and it's all over unless somebody is there to restart it. So alcohol can be very, very dangerous for somebody that's in a hypothermia, but alcohol can also bring on the onset of hypothermia, because it does not allow the exterior surface of the body to be cooled down by the vasoconstriction in the extremities and the surface so that you can conserve the blood for the inside. So alcohol is hazardous. You have to be very careful about how, when, and where you may choose to use it. Okay, there we have hypothermia. There we have an understanding of how and why it works. Not just a simple list of things, but I want you to understand it from the inside and recognize those symptoms. Recognize how to prevent them. Do everything you can to prevent them. And if you find yourself in a situation where you're dealing with hypothermia, you've got to back out of it quickly, appropriately, properly, so that you do not cause things to get worse. Now, Since I look at our clock here and our time's getting a little bit short, we won't have time to go into the next things in this class today. We'll cover them next week. We're going to pick up the rest of these personal injury things and a whole bunch more things here. I didn't know how long it'd take me to get through this material, but I wanted to give it to you with some depth so that you would understand significantly enough that you can take care of it. You can avoid these things. But you might start to get the picture about the next one we're going to talk about, which is frostbite. Frostbite is frozen flesh. Frozen flesh on your nice warm body is not a good idea, folks. And it can cause injury. It can cause death. But you might also understand, you see, if you're looking at somebody who's in hypothermia, what's one of the other things they're very susceptible to? It's going to be frostbite, of course, because what has the body done? In order to protect the core, to save the heat in the core, what it has done is it has restricted the blood supply that flows into the extremities, into the fingers and toes and hands and feet. They don't have as much warm blood going into them, so they can save it for the core. That means that they are going to chill out even faster, and that's why as people go into hypothermia, you may also find out that they have frozen flesh, fingers and toes and cheeks and nose and ears that have become frostbitten where the flesh is frozen. So you need to be watching for both of these things at the same time. We'll talk further about that next week and then all the other hazards we have. And then we're going to talk about some of the things you do in winter emergencies around your shelter. It's about fuels and fires and some of those things. Because I watch people get into trouble. We learn of people that they didn't freeze to death. They died of asphyxiation. They died from carbon monoxide poisoning or things like that because they didn't understand what was going on around them. We will cover those topics next week also. Well, I hope this gives you not only some understanding, but I hope it gives you some hope that you can deal with these things. Winter and cold weather is not a threat. It really is not a threat. Winter and cold weather is your ally. Winter and cold weather can save your life. Winter and cold weather slows and stops the spread of disease. If we're going to get into one of these, you know, potential super flu bug pandemic things that be coming around, move outside in the winter. Be in my country out here, it's like go outside and live in a tent. If you're prepared to deal with the cold, you're going to be much safer outside in the tent because the microbes, the bacteria, the viruses, the whatever it is that spreads this stuff around, they don't live out there. They have to have a warm, dark, humid place that also has food around. Of course, you may be the food. They don't live out in the snow. They live inside where people want to hang out, where it's warm. So winter is your ally. Winter also stops, I'll say, people from wandering in that would cause trouble. People slows, the cold weather in the winter slows down all kinds of things. So if we have something that has gone terribly wrong, personally, for me, myself, and my household, I'd rather have it happen in the dead of winter than I would in the dead of summer, so to speak, because summer has other issues that are much harder to control. All I have to do is control my ability to stay warm. So go back. I encourage you to go back. If you're new with us, please go back and listen to the series of programs. Go through them. Help yourself understand why the priorities are the way they really are. This is not just a great idea that I thought up sometime, just through years of observation, looking at what's going on, and finding out what has gone poorly for other situations and other people. Why have people been hurt? Why have they lost their lives? Why have they gotten sick? And when you start to understand what's happened in these situations, you look for ways to prevent those things, to avoid them. That's why I do what I do, and that's why I have fun sharing these concepts and ideas with you, so that you yourself can be safe. You see, I don't believe that I am fully prepared until my neighbors are prepared. Now, my neighborhood happens to go from the East Coast to the West Coast, and it goes way up into the North, and it goes a long ways into the South. That's my neighborhood. So I'm not really prepared until my neighbors are prepared. I believe that our job, your job and my job, is to share as much as we can. And I realize there are some people that are like, the world's great, the government will take care of us or whatever it is, or they're so frightened by the difficulty of doing these things that even though they have a feeling that something is not the way it should be, that somehow our safety, our ability to take care of ourselves, that somehow we've lost our way and who it is that we worship and what it is that we worship, but we've lost the ability as a nation, it would seem, to worship the God of this land. And they're looking at these things, but they don't know what to do about it to protect themselves and their family. Some people choose not to prepare or get involved because it's like it's too big, it's too hard, it's too much. It's the old story of how do you eat an elephant? Well, you can't eat the elephant all at one time. You've got to start someplace, and you take it one bite at a time. We can eat the elephant of becoming prepared by doing it one bite at a time, one step at a time, but you need to know where to begin. And that's where the DVD that we have available to people, the Foundation DVD, the number one DVD, it's $5.50. Get it. It'll go over the Foundation things here. We're way beyond the Foundation at this point here. If you go back and listen to these 11 previous programs and the one we did today, you're getting a lot of depth. So I encourage you to go back, listen to these other programs, share them with people, bring them to the program live, bring them to the website where they can hear what's going on, help your neighbors prepare. I believe it's a responsibility. We'll finish up the last few moments right after this break. Jim Phillips, prepare without fear.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering. Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. I'm Jim Phillips on this beautiful winter day. As I said earlier, you know, this is a grand time of the year. It's a grand season to be around, not just because of the holidays, but it is a time to gather together with friends and family, and I'll do that here in a little bit. I think maybe all of our 9 children will be here before the day is over and the 20 grandchildren. That's part of what we do, but we gather to celebrate season. This is what it's all about, is celebrating the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. And in so doing, that we might remember his mission and his life, which is the most important thing of all, is that mission, it is that life that brought us the possibility, the hope, the future that extends beyond this place. As we prepare ourselves physically to deal with things that may be happening, we do that without fear. By preparing ourselves spiritually, our mental, emotional, attitude side of things, as well as understanding how and why things work, and then putting together the material things so that we can take care of our households and our family. That's what it's about. You see, the law of provident living really is correct. Spiritual, attitude, knowledge, and stuff. The truth about life is there is no doubt that tomorrow will come, and there's no dispute that things happen. But how you're prepared to meet tomorrow will make all the difference in the world. If you're prepared for the worst, then no matter what happens, it will be an adventure. Winter, cold weather can be an adventure, but you have to be prepared for it. You live a provident life by making provisions in such a way that in your areas of life and the place that you are and the things that you deal with, that you can face those things and face that future without being ground up in fear. I go back to what I was saying earlier. That's why we tell people the good news of the gospel. That's why we tell people the good news, not as important as, but still the good news of, you know what? It's possible to be prepared. That's why I appreciate the work of RBN and other people that I work with to teach and train people about these things. I do my part and the little bit that I know to share those things. I don't have all the answers, and I encourage you to listen to other people. But always back up what they say to the principle behind it. Go for an understanding. If somebody tells you you should buy this, understand why they say buy it. Not just because it's the only thing that they know. There has to be a reason behind that. If they suggest to you something that you should do or not do, ask them why. That is, in some cases you'll find people say, well, I read it in a book, or it sounds like a good idea. I believe you don't have the right to teach anything until you've lived it. So I guess I can teach you a little bit about hypothermia because I've been there a few times. One time, nearly a life-threatening situation. Other times, suffering and misery. So as you're listening to other folks, ask for an explanation of why. It'll help your depth of understanding, and it'll also give you confidence in what they're telling you. I believe that it is important that we share our message, the message of the greater news, which is about the gospel, and it's about the Savior, but it's the message about how we take responsibility for our own households, how we prepare ourselves. We share with others that we become self-reliant families that are interdependent within self-reliant communities, not just geographical communities, but communities of people working together, talking together. We do it in such a way that we bless the lives of people. We do it in a way that we're helpful, not tearing down, not destroying, but lifting and building in a positive way. That's what I believe to be. Because we need each other now, and we need each other in the future. It is in community. It is through sharing. It is through giving and receiving at all levels that we prepare ourselves to deal with anything that may come into our lives and find it an adventure no matter what happens. This is Jim Phillips wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll see you next week. Prepare without fear.